Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Little hauling out, hauling oats, bringing us in at high noon on a Wednesday. When you hear hauling oats, it means we're going to Philly. Talk to our boy Davey Z. Dave Zangaro covers the Eagles. Done it a long time. Does a great job. You can check him out on the Eagle Eye podcast. Dave, what up, dude? How are you?
Yo, what's going on, guys? I'm so excited for this game.
When is the last time you said that with this team coming to town?
Man, it's been a long time. This is a lot of fun. I think back to when I chatted with you guys in the summer. I don't think any of us expected this game to have this much hype around it, but it's really cool.
Yeah, it really is.
It is.
The Eagles, I mean, did we have you on, or maybe I was just texting with you? It seemed like that ship was sinking 6 weeks ago, and Sirianni seemed nuts. All of a sudden, everything is cool up there. They've won five in a row. What has changed, and what is kind of the temperature now?
Yeah, the vibes are very good with this team right now, and you win five in a row, it's going to feel pretty good. They got off to a 2-2 start. It was rough, but they had that early bye week, and I think that early bye, you know, when the schedule comes out, you go, a week five bye looks like way too early. And that's not to say, you know, week 13, week 14, they're not going to be feeling it a little bit. But I think it was a good time for them. And I think they figured out a lot of stuff during that bye week. And since then, it's been a lot better. Now, the competition they've faced in the last few weeks hasn't been great. But they've done what they needed to do. They've kind of beaten up on some lesser opponents, which is always a big question. I think at times when the Eagles haven't been very good, they've let they've let lesser teams stick around with them, and they've either lost the games or they've been too close. But to see the kind of blowout wins they've had recently, I think things are looking much better. And as much panic as there was, I think, from the outside, they didn't really feel as much panic inside when they were 2-2. They still had some belief in the players they had and in Nick Sirianni too, which, he kind of went through a lot early this season, but everything's looking pretty good right now.
Have there been any injuries up there that people are concerned about?
For the most part, they're a pretty healthy team. In fact, they might get Jordan Mailata back this week. He's obviously the really good left tackle who had missed the last 4 weeks. He's been on IR with a hamstring injury. They activated his practice window this week, so there's a chance he's ready to play. They have a few little like lingering injuries. Devontae Smith's been dealing with a hamstring. Dallas Goedert has a little bit of an ankle injury. But for the most part, they've been a pretty healthy team to this point.
Yeah, they have been pretty healthy. The turnovers, it's funny. I kind of looked at some of the numbers, and in that 2-2 start before the bye, they had 8 turnovers. In the 5 games since, they've got 3 turnovers in 5 games, which is obviously a great sign. But then the flip side of that is all the 3 turnovers have come in the last 2 games. So what version of these events is real, the turnover-prone team or the lock-it-down team?
Yeah, I think they are not a super turnover-prone team right now. You know, early in the season it was a problem, and it was like the 2-2 star. You're seeing Jalen Hurts. He's being careless with the football. A lot of turnover-worthy plays, which is a really nice stat from PFF that I like quite a bit, because I think turnovers, there's like a fluky nature to that stat in general, because you know, there are some plays that end up, you know, it bounces off a receiver's hands, and you know, it's not really the quarterback's fault. But I thought Jalen early this season was putting the ball in harm's way way too often. So it was something he needed to clean up, and I think he has. Last week against the Cowboys, he did throw a pick, but, I mean, I kind of thought it was just a really nice play by Trayvon Diggs. I have a hard time faulting Hurts for that. And then, you know, the other one was Micah Parsons comes free and knocks the ball out. He has to be better there. But for the most part, I think he's done a really good job protecting the football. And then on the flip side, the Eagles' defense has been getting takeaways at a crazy rate recently. So, I mean, turnover differential is, other than points, the most important stat in football. And the Eagles weren't very good early, and they're really good at it now. So I think that when you look at this five-game win streak, that's a really important part of it.
For sure. And I think Hurts has looked so good lately. I mean, that Dallas, the second half of that game was just a straight demolition. And when he get when he really gets his legs going, and where is Hurts at in the scale of we've seen him be an MVP candidate and we've seen him look pretty ineffective at times?
Yeah, I think he's healthy. And I know there was a thing here last week where Nick Sirianni kind of revealed that he's dealing with a little ankle injury, but he looks faster than he did last year. And when you have that plus one in the run game, it's a big deal, which you guys are seeing now, obviously, with Jaden Daniels. But he looks healthy. He's, like I said, since the bye week, he's been making much better decisions. Now, they have kind of been leaning on the run game way more since the bye, so they haven't asked him to do quite as much. It's been a little more limited in terms of, like, they're not saying, hey, Jalen, go out and win us this game. It's been a lot of, we have a really good offensive line, and Saquon Barkley, who's one of the best running backs in the league, kind of let him do his job. But that's not to say that they're not going to need Jalen to really throw the football at some point in one of these games. Heck, it could happen Thursday night. They might need him to air it out a little bit. But the recipe since the bye week really has been run the ball with Barkley, let the offensive line dictate the way they're going to play these games, and then strategically let Jalen air it out. He's been really good throwing the deep ball. That's been their recipe. It doesn't mean it's going to be the recipe for the rest of the year, but that's what's been working recently.
Well, you say he's healthy now. To him being injured last year, because when you saw him playing, you could see something was bothering him. That could be part of what the problem was last year?
Yeah, I think that's probably part of it. And it's like, you know, injured is like, it's kind of a catch-all, right? Because, like, was he on the injury report every week? No. But did he look healthy? Were the bumps and bruises of a season catching up with him? I think absolutely. I mean, he didn't look like the same player in the second half of 2023 that he did in the 2022 Super Bowl season. He just looked slower. He looked a little more labored out there. So I think overall health is much better this year. He just looks faster. And I know it's like anecdotal. It's tough to really say he's faster. But, I mean, watching him, he looks like the 2022 version a little bit. And that's a big deal, because in 2023 it felt like they were still trying to reap the advantages of that plus one in the run game, but he wasn't able to make things happen with his legs. So not only were teams not respecting his ability to run, but when they tried to do it, they weren't picking up any yards, and they were kind of putting themselves behind the sticks. So this year, with him looking healthier, with him looking faster, it's not like they have to rely on him running the football, but just his presence in the run game, I think, has helped Saquon. And then on the flip side, I think Saquon's presence has really helped him and the rest of the offense.
All right, let's one specific person we need to talk to. We're talking with our friend Dave Zangaro from NBC Sports Philadelphia. You can follow him at DZangaro, NBCS. Davey Z, Saquon's been killing it. What you have a story, I guess, pinned on your profile from maybe last week or earlier this week about what Saquon has found in Philly and how well it's all going there?
Yeah, I mean, he's just been unbelievable. He's doing things on a field that I've never seen anyone do. It's like, it's
I mean, that
pretty
reverse
amazing.
Hurdle was nuts.
Yeah,
and it's funny because I talked to his coach about that, his running backs coach, and it's everyone in Philadelphia except him loved that play because, you know, the running backs coach is going, please don't do that.
Sure.
Stay on the ground, please. But with Saquon, he kind of went through some weird times at the end of his career with the Giants, with the franchise tag, and then with free agency playing out the way it did and in such a public manner. on Hard Knocks. So it was cool. Basically, the gist of the story that I wrote was his running backs coach, Jamal Singleton, sat him down before the season and just basically told him how much he thought of him as a player and said he was the highest-rated player he's ever scouted in this league. And he said, like, I still think you're that guy. I think we can do some special things. And you don't think about a guy like Saquon Barkley, who's been like a top draft pick and a Pro Bowler, needing that type of confidence boost, but he apparently did. And he said it really went a long way just to know that his coach believed in him that much. And yeah, he's been incredible. He's 9 yards shy of 1,000 for the season. He's running so well. And like the touches have been a big topic here of conversation among media members and fans. Like, is he touching the ball too much and all this? But having an offensive line like the Eagles have, he's not taking the beating that he took in New York. I mean, so many of his yards are before contact now. So, yes, he's touching the ball an awful lot, but he's been able to stay pretty healthy so far.
I think that just further resonates. Like, I always tell people, football players are human beings first. And everybody wants to feel respected. They want to feel like somebody really do believe in them. And when you get that, it frees a lot of stuff, because halftime, if you listen to the most comments made about athletes, it's as if they are something other, like unhuman. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and
what the running back coach did was perfect.
Yeah, and it compounds because there's so much pressure too. Like, sports psychology to me is fascinating, and like in the last few years, it feels like teams are really buying into it more and more, and they're employing sports psychologists, and they're like really worried about and focused on the mental side of this, because it's a big deal. It's like there's so much pressure on these guys. He's such a public figure. And like everyone in the world saw his free agency play out on national TV. Like, that has to have an effect on you. So it's like the first time we've ever seen that, right? Because, and that's probably the last time.
It was wild
we'll ever
see.
Yeah, it's probably the last time we'll ever see a team do the offseason Hard Knocks. And he was like the focal point of it. So I think it's been a breath of fresh air for him to be in Philadelphia. And it's, I mean, so far, it's been just an incredible free agency signing.
You know what was wild is that game was when the Commanders played the Giants that day. And I guess, was that a 4 o'clock game when he had the reverse hurdle joint?
I think so.
Because I was in the Commanders' locker room when I saw that happen, and I was like, whoa. And then I showed it to a bunch of defensive linemen because they were like, what? And I was like, check this out. And I showed it to them on my phone, and they're all just like, whoa. Like, that specific play was just so absurd. Has he answered, like, how he thought of that?
He didn't. He just reacted.
Yeah, it's more just reacting. The crazy thing is, like, even without the reverse hurdle, it's still an incredible play. He still would have made two guys miss, and with a spin move in there. I think
the move before was sick too.
It was incredible. Yeah, but I think he was like starting to set up another spin move and didn't quite get there, and then kind of saw the other guy coming out of his peripheral and decided to hurdle. It's not the first time he's done it. It's the first time he's done it this clean and impressively, but he has kind of done a reverse hurdle before. He did it at Penn State. Ooh. Against Iowa, but this one was like, I've never seen anything like it. I don't think we'll ever see anything like it again, honestly.
It has been nuts. All right, so clearly Philly's hot. Washington isn't as hot as they've been. Two players on the Eagles' defense I think have been great. Bon, the linebacker, and Dean, the linebacker. How good is that middle level?
Yeah, it's amazing because it's been a really long time since the Eagles had linebacker play like this, and Zach Bond, when they signed him, everyone kind of thought he was going to be kind of a situational edge rusher in the Andrew Van Ginkle kind of mold, where Van Ginkle played for Fangio last year in Miami. But give credit to Fangio, because Howie Roseman said, here's Zach Bond, we think he could be a situational edge rusher. Fangio watched him and said, no, I think he's an inside backer. Since then, he's been an inside linebacker. He's been a starter, and he's playing at a Pro Bowl level. It's not
Get
even
the
like
coach
for
help
a while.
Out every once in a while.
Yeah. I mean, for a while, it was like, okay, he's good for an Eagles linebacker. Then it was, okay, he's good for a guy who hasn't played linebacker very much. And now it's like, no, he's just good. He's been one of the better linebackers in the league. And it's been fun to watch. N'Kobe's been a little more up and down, but he's been solid, too, as the mic, as the signal caller for the defense. Yeah, so they're getting good play from those two guys. And then since we'll probably talk about it anyway, Quinyon Mitchell, the rookie cornerback, he's been excellent. And I can't wait. The one matchup I'm so excited for in this game is Quinyon Mitchell against Terry McLaurin. Because
is Quinyon a talker?
On the field? Yeah. Yeah, he's a little trash talker on the field. It's like little quick jabs on the field from what I've heard from defensive backs. It's like, you know, that route was trash type stuff. He'll let you hear it a little bit. He's confident.
Okay.
You're saying, though, Quinyon versus Terry. Terry has killed the Eagles in his career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he has.
They say, I know.
What do you think for this weekend with Mitchell?
Yeah, I think Mitchell's been their better corner this year, and that's not a knock on Slay. I think he's still playing pretty well, but he's a 33-year-old corner, and Father Time's catching up a little bit. Yeah. I'm excited to watch Quinyon in this game. The stats aren't there. He hasn't had a pick yet. He's been really close. He's dropped a few. I think if he had a couple picks, we'd be talking about him as a potential defensive rookie of the year. I mean, he's been playing that well, and from day one. He was a day one starter for this team. I don't know. I think McLaurin's going to get his. I don't think you're going to shut out a guy like that, but I think it's going to be a battle. I think that Quinyon's going to have his wins too. And the Eagles will help a little bit. This Vic Fangio too high shell, like they have the opportunity to shade a little bit and help out with the McLaurin on that side. And I think they will, but there are going to be times where they're just one-on-one and the better man is going to win. So I think it's going to be fun, and it's going to be fun because this is not just a one-game matchup. I mean, this is going to be hopefully the next few years getting to watch these two guys go at it.
I'm with you there. You haven't seen Jaden yet. I know that you put the time in and are a good reporter and watch the tape. What do you think about Jaden against this Eagles defense?
He's been fun to watch, man. Does not look like a rookie, that's for sure. I think I've been so impressed by the way he's, like, protecting the football. And something's got to give this weekend because the Eagles have been so good at getting takeaways. He's been so good at playing in a way that he's not turning it over. So I think that's really what this game could come down to. If he's able to do that and not allow the Eagles to make big plays on him, I think that it's going to go a long way for the Commanders. I think Zach Bond, who we mentioned, is going to have a big role in this game. He has that kind of sideline-to-sideline speed as a backer that you might need, especially if they're going to run some like zone read type stuff with Daniels, which they have been doing. I think his legs scare you if you're the Eagles as much as his passing ability. And that's not to say he's obviously been a great pocket passer, but typically the Eagles have struggled at times with quarterbacks who have that running ability. So I think Bond is a big player to watch in this game. But, yeah, I mean, the Commanders' offense, as you guys have seen, has been pretty outstanding. So the Eagles have been good in recent weeks defensively. They keep getting better and better because it's a young defense learning a pretty intricate system. But this is the biggest test they'll face so far.
What are you feeling for tomorrow night?
I think it's going to be a close game. I really do. And it's funny because when the schedule came out, I didn't really care that this was a Thursday night game. Now I wish that both teams had a full week to prepare for it because I feel like we're getting robbed a little bit.
Because these games are usually gross.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. I think it kind of comes down to watch a little bit. The Eagles had to travel back from Dallas, but they also got the rest of their starters in the fourth quarter. So I think that kind of balances out with Washington being at home last week. I think it's going to be a close game. I think I'm going to pick the Eagles. I think I'm going to kind of just go with the home team on this one, but I really think it's kind of a coin flip game. I think it could go either way.
I've seen Devontae Smith on the injury report. What's his health? Obviously a key player.
Yeah, he's been dealing with a hamstring. He had it last week too, so it's really just like managing it for him. I expect him to play. They had that kind of mini bye week after the Thursday game to give him some extra time. I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be good to go. Yeah, I don't think I have anyone who's like the one big question mark injury-wise is Mailata, just if he's ready or not. I think everyone else is going to play.
Would they put Mailata out there that fast? I mean, he just got activated 2 days ago or something, right?
Yeah, and the tricky part is that they don't have any actual practices this week. It's all walkthroughs.
Right.
So it's about like putting him through some extra stuff on the side to see if that hamstring is ready. I think there's a good chance he plays.
Okay, so but Dean, Goddard, Slay, Smith, the guys that have been limited on there, you think are all full go, right?
Yeah, I think most of those guys will be able to play.
All right. Davey, thank you, buddy. Always appreciate it.
All right, Dave.
All right, fellas. Take care.
Hi, bro.
That's our guy, Dave Zangaro from NBC Sports Philadelphia. Give him a follow at DZangaro, NBCS. Check out the Eagle Eye podcast, him and Ruben Frank. Rube, do a great job.
Yeah.
Nobody go anywhere. The Commanders practicing a little early.
All right.
We'll give you an update.
Hey, it's B. Mitch here. Big changes are happening in the DMV. And just like our upgraded football team, now is the time to upgrade the comfort in your home with a Rude HVAC system. I did, and the difference is night and day. My family and I felt the change instantly. And if you don't have a Rude system yet, trust me, you're totally missing out. Plus, there are tax-eligible options for you in the DMV. And if you're in Maryland, you might score some utility rebates. So head over to Rude.com, find a local pro partner, and get ready for winter. Always remember, if it ain't Rude, it ain't.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right.
We got to get to our NFL power rankings a little later in the program. It is a Wednesday, which means power rankings. Commanders practice going on right now, so they're a little ahead of schedule. We were told that practice would start at 12:25. Instead, they went around noon.
Got to get to that plane, dog.
What do you do you make anything of that outside of just, hey, let's go?
That's it.
I agree. I think this is a good question Lamphill asks. Who is the Eagles' biggest offensive threat in this game? A.J. Brown, who has killed this team, Washington, repeatedly. Saquon Barkley, who is killing the whole NFL but hasn't played Washington yet. Or Jalen Hurts, who has been good but not outrageous against Washington in his couple seasons as starter.
I'd go with Saquon. Hands down. I think Saquon makes the offense go.
It does feel like he's a difference maker, even just compared to like last season.
Mm-hmm.
Hurts, in his seven starts against Washington, is 5-2, completing 66% of his passes, 12 touchdowns against three picks. This is pretty wild. He's averaging about 250 per game, 250 pass yards per game.
Jalen?
Yeah, he's not always like the most high total passer. You know what I mean? So that's obviously a pretty significant number. I'll turn to the boys in the aquarium. What do you consider to be the biggest threat in this game to the Commanders' defense, Jeffrey?
I'm going to say the receivers as a whole.
Devontae and AJ?
Yes.
What is the threshold where they take over the game versus just kind of get theirs to you?
How would I If it comes down, JP, you know what? I'm going to put it like this. The reason why I say it's the receivers as a whole, because I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to feel like, you know, we just picking on BSJ, but it is what it is. I just feel as though if they need a play with either one of them guys because of the speed of Devontae, because of the size of AJ, or shoot, I don't want to play it off, but what if they try to do something like Jahan Dotson and they not expecting it? St. Juice is on him, boom, over the top. That's just the only thing I'm worried about, bro. The Jahan Dotson was just a reach, just to play on how bad.
You sound nervous, Jeff. Are you nervous?
I'm not nervous. It's just without secondary, I'm just.
He sounds nervous, right, B?
So, in the beginning of the year, JP, I was more nervous about our run game. Like, if this game was earlier in the year, I would have been like, man, Saquon, I don't know how we're going to stop Saquon. Because we get ran through. But these last couple of weeks, our run defense has been stepping up. Only thing is, I'm worried about our receivers. But I'm not nervous. I still got us winning the game, though.
Like, Jeff, I applaud you never letting statistics get in the way of a good story. Because these last couple of weeks, the run defense has not been stepping up. Defensively, they've given up at least 140 for the last 3 weeks.
Now, when I mean stepping up, JP, dude, go
created
look at
turnovers.
Go look at the beginning of this season, and look at last season, bro. I could have ran through us. Like,
okay, it's gotten better.
Yes, it has gotten better. And the thing is, when I'm saying these things, I'm not saying it like they're a run stopping, powerful. No, I know where we're at in the season. I know we're in the middle of a rebuild. I'm not letting the record sway my judgment on this team. We got holes to build. It's okay, but they have been doing relatively better in my eyes from what I've been seeing. Right. What's up,
Jeffrey?
Kerwin?
We're circling back to that. Right now, I believe for the first time ever, we've got a new practice reporter on the B. Mitchell Finley program, Chris Kerwin, my photographer from NBC4, been covering this team for years, worked here with George Michael. Kerwin, you were at practice. B and I had to be on the radio. What did we see? Let's start with Marshawn Lattimore.
Lattimore did a lot of stuff on the side field. A lot of stuff like hamstring exercise. Like,
with trainers or with coaches?
Trainers.
Okay.
Trainers. Definitely was trainers. Had the old harness around him, running with the cable behind him, running out, checking the speed there.
B, what does that tell you?
They're trying to figure out what's going to happen tomorrow.
Do you think if he's able to do, especially with the kind of the speed resistance stuff, does that sound better, worse?
Sounds better.
What else? What about B-Rob?
B-Rob, we're not allowed to shoot special teams, but B-Rob was not part of the special team, so he was running on a side field catching passes, running around looking like a happy guy.
Passes from just like one of the coaches?
Yeah, one of the coaches and stuff. Okay. Yeah, not Jaden.
B-Rob being happy. B-Rob's an emotional dude.
Definitely.
And
that's why I said that. He looked like he was, like, jovial.
Well, dude, we'll pull the curtain back a little bit here. Last Thursday, and Brian and I have a good relationship, I would say. He's cool with most of the reporters. Last Thursday, I wanted to speak with him, and he was very much not in the mood to speak. Now, he had talked the day before, like, fulfilled all the obligations, whatever, but that seemed fairly telling to you and I both. We were like, oh, that's an unusual response. And then about 18 hours later, DQ ruled him out for the weekend. I think something had gone wrong that day. Mm-hmm. So him smiling and running around.
And he spoke yesterday. He spoke yesterday to practice. And I mean, does it matter? I don't know. But like you said, he's an emotional guy. And when he's up, he's up. And when he's down, he's down.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. How much does it help them if they get B-Rod back, B?
I think it helps out tremendously. You know, I've said that from the beginning. I think he makes that offense goals because he allows Eckler to come in and just focus on his
thing. Be more dynamic.
You know, Eckler, when he's just doing the edge things and the slashy things and catching the ball at the backfield, is far more effective than having to be the battering ram and that. B-Rod softens up the defense for those other guys.
The two fun parts of practice was Jaden was just kind of screwing around on a side field, and you know they had the net to catch the balls in. He was at least 30 yards away and just did a circle and put it up, moon ball, and landed it, and then went across that field to the two other fields just with his arms stretched out, running around like he had just, won a Super Bowl.
Will there be video of that on the NBC4 Sports account?
I got the reaction. I have to say, but I got the actual pass. But I got the ball going in the net. And then the other thing was...
Dude, you should get that reaction on the internet anyway, because how sick would that celebration be as a gift when he throws a touchdown?
Well, I can't do it. Heather might be doing it.
That's true.
The other thing was Tressway and the punter were doing the old... throw the ball from about the 30-yard line and try to hit the goal.
The crossbar. Sure.
But also the crossbar right where it catches in the middle. Mm. And Tress hit one. He was pretty happy.
Nice. Did you get that?
Yeah, I got that. I mean, the guys are pretty happy. It seems like it's a loose mood. I mean.
There's no point in being uptight because you got a short week, right? Like, you're going to have the game either way. What's the point of being pissed off about it?
You know, worry about the short week. Us in the media, those players, listen, they want to play football.
Dude,
they much rather play than practice.
Tell me if you agree with this, because I kind of pushed back on this on the air yesterday on NBC4. A lot of – Jaden got asked about going to play in Philly. And a lot of guys in the locker room got asked, hey, you got to go play in Philadelphia on Monday night. Jaden Daniels started at Alabama last year and at Ole Miss. Like, I think for a lot of these guys – I think those are storylines for fans and media. But, like, if you're playing major college football, even if you play non-Power 5 college football, most of the time you go play road games at big spots.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to diminish what Philly is, but, like, I don't think it's going to impact Jaden a nanosecond.
It may not impact Jaden, but you know what, though? They're different up there compared to where they are anywhere
Dude,
else.
I also think the Eagles crowd – over the last, like, 4 or 5 years, has gotten a little more corporate, a little more
corporate people are crazy up there, bro. Don't fool yourself.
It just doesn't seem as loud. Last year –
pregame, there's plenty of pregame shirts.
It didn't have to be loud when they win it.
Right.
It's like the ultimate thing I'm telling you. The people that will walk up with a suit and tie, they will be the one to curse you out before the people that have on T-shirt and something else.
A couple guys said yesterday that they're looking forward to, like – in hockey, we call it chirps. They're looking forward
back
and forth. Yeah,
I love, like, I asked
Dante Fowler said that.
I asked a question about Quinyon Mitchell. I say, does he like to talk? Because I know when people talk, Terry cooks them. I used to love people that talk, and I love fans that talk because it ignited me.
You also would start talking, right?
No, I wouldn't start. But if you started, I was not going to stop.
Good.
I would finish it. But I love guys. Like, that was something that ignited me. There were guys that would be, man, we got to go up there to Philly. We got to go to Oakland. I love that. And they say, oh, you crazy, B. Mitch. Well, I'm crazy then. You know, because just
all of that checks out.
All that yapping does nothing. Makes another guy, the guy that wants to play, want to shut you up, and makes him better.
The black hole in Oakland was one of my favorite. No longer exists, of course.
Something wrong with those people.
But that was one of my favorite places.
That was one place that I was a little concerned.
It was Halloween every day in the black hole in Oakland,
I mean, gosh, that's an interesting place. All right, Kerwin, you're getting a lot of attention in the chat here.
Oh, no.
Greg Wakachon wants to know if you're from Wisconsin and where.
Sun Prairie, right outside of Madison.
He said, Scotty Badger hat, let's go Badgers.
Well, we've had a tough year on the gridiron, but
I don't know how.
We have a very good matchup this week, I think, too.
I don't know how Wisconsin decides to go to, like, the air raid. Just run the ball out of the I formation.
Don't start.
Tay wants to know if you have any funny George Michael stories.
Oh.
We can save that for another day.
Let's save it for another day.
Okay.
You had to hit a break or something?
Yeah, but
yeah,
you can go.
Hit a break.
I don't care. Landfill get mad.
There was a time that we had the NBA All-Star game in town, and we had Shaq and like three other NBA All-Stars on this platform at the center.
Verizon Center.
It was the conference center downtown.
Okay.
Convention Center. So Convention Center, yes. So we had them all, and everybody had an individual mic. So I had Shaq's mic, and I heard it, and I was like, no, hold on. George yelled at me, and I readjusted Shaq's mic. I had to get up higher because it was loud in there. We get back to the station, and George puts a tape in an edit bay, and he can't hear the audio. Kerwin, get in here. I can't hear the audio. No. He just starts screaming and berating me in front of everybody. And I walk in the audio booth, and there was just a button that wasn't pushed. Here's your audio, George. And I walked out, and he was so mad that I showed him up in front of everybody. And he goes, you know what? I'm sorry. Everybody, I'm sorry. I questioned Kerwin, and I'm sorry. And I was like, you know what? For the guy who blusters a lot, like, he apologized in front of everybody. I'm like, okay, George. We're good. We're good.
I had a couple of run-ins with George.
It's one of those things where you got to listen to the message, not the volume.
Sure. Thank you. You're welcome to stick around. No, I imagine you have work.
I
got to
go back to work.
Yeah, go to work, man.
Any idea when we're going to get DQ?
They said one-ish.
One-ish. Stay tuned.
It's a definite one-ish time.
One-ish, we're going to get Dan Quinn. We're going to hear a lot about tomorrow. Nobody go anywhere. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Leave that up. Let me hit it.
I don't know that song.
Sure seemed like you did.
I never heard that song before.
So you can see it on the NBC4 Sports account, or I just tweeted it myself. The video of Jaden Daniels yelling, "I'm back," and hitting the jet, the old Jason Terry move, is pretty awesome. I got to say, we got to talk to Jaden yesterday. The amount of people that have come up to me and said, like, yo, how much more fun are you having this year covering this team? And mm-hmm. it's significant. It's a significantly different vibe, right? For you, too. I mean,
of course,
doing those post games and, you know, you guys watching you and Tana dap up every player as they come off the field. Like, it's just everything feels so different.
Yeah.
But Jaden specifically is such a unique, remarkable breath of fresh air. And he's just so chill and fun and easy. And he said, like, yeah, you know, I don't really like to talk trash. Like, I just like to smile and have fun. And the best thing you can do, like I keep circling back to when Brian Daboll tried to, like, mm-hmm. catch him in a gotcha moment during Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
And whatever, it's hard coaching. You know, you want to make sure your quarterback can handle it. And he's like, gave him this incredibly detailed play call, then told him to change like three different things and asked him an immediate follow-up question. He's like, throw a touchdown. Like, I just love his demeanor. Mm-hmm. And I think that demeanor, for whatever might come at him in Philly, he'll be all right. Like, there just doesn't seem to be a scenario where he can't handle
it. He doesn't seem to be the guy who's going to get worried about too much, you know. And I think that's a good thing, a good way to be, you know, because they will try you. I'm just letting you know. They're going to try to see, and let's be real. They also have a level of respect once they know they can't really get to somebody.
For sure. For sure. I did ask a question yesterday of Dan Quinn, because if you think about it, he's been super scheduled, right? Like, in July, he wasn't. What did he say? It was crawl, walk, run, and that they want to be better in week 10 than they were in week 8, than they were in week 6, than they were in week 2. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just asked him, with that mindset, when do you expect more from rookies, McCaffrey and Sennett particularly? And mm-hmm. he said, you know, he kind of thinks they're getting and that their time will come because they're putting the work in, and he didn't seem to have the slightest concern about it. I'm curious if you think something could be coming for those guys.
I think both of those guys are highly talented, and I think when you look at when you're looking on the field, see, fans, and I'm not saying just the actual fans, I'm talking about all of us, media mm-hmm. people, we look for plays. I look a different way. Luke McCaffrey has been running wide open on some plays, and a lot of times it's not – he's not in the read. Other times they just didn't get a chance to get to him because pressure came. But I think it's coming. Sennett, another guy who does everything right, full speed on special teams. He blocks his ass off when he's on the field. His chances are going to come because he's been open on some of our routes as well. So coaches are looking at this thing where they see the improvement. We don't see the improvement unless they end up on the stat sheet. When they go break down the film, they're like, he was open there. He was open there. Oh, look what he did right here.
Right.
And they could take something and go with it. So they know what's coming. We just don't know it at that point.
I think that's a really good point. I think Luke, we have seen be close, yeah. right? Like, he's had a couple catches here and there. And that the deep shot was mm-hmm. maybe a foot off.
Yeah.
Maybe 18 inches, you know yeah. what I mean? And so that kind of thing is kind of tough to see. I do believe that's coming. I also think – I understand folks are upset about Zach Ertz not getting that first down. But I think the – you got to get Sennett more time right away, take Ertz's snaps. I think you are really, really missing the – what is it saying? Missing the forest for the trees. Ertz has been really good. He's a really good route runner. Mm-hmm. And Jaden clearly has a ton of trust with him.
Yeah. But, you know, that's what that's about, man. When you get – when someone gets drafted – we always look at the potential. And that's just it, potential. They're not ready yet. They have to get there. Once they get there, the coaches will figure out, okay, it's time to put them in. It's time to see what can happen. But you can't rush that.
Real quick, we hope to hear from Dan Quinn soon, that we were told one-ish. Richmond John, who we all know, friend of the program. We were just talking about Oakland, right, when you used to go play the Raiders. Mm-hmm. And the Raiders fans in the end zone were known to be extra crazy.
Psychopathic.
They called that area the black hole of mm-hmm. Oakland Stadium. Oakland Alameda, I think it was called. Richmond John just tweeted at Jeff2Funny, the black hole isn't what you think. I promise it's football related. We'll be right back.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.